Well, good evening. I don't want to talk a lot about this, but if you've been watching the news, goodness, there is a, some say, maybe the best ever Middle East peace deal. Let's pray for all of that. Can we be in prayer as we start for anything else on your hearts and minds? So I'll pray, and then we'll get into the word tonight, Lord. First, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to worship to the beautiful soundtrack, Lord, tonight. Lord, we know that you love to hear your kids sing to you, Lord. And so thank you again, Lord, that we get to do that. So we just continue to pray, rely on you, and just knowing that you have written things from end to end, Lord, so that we know that we can trust you. And tonight, Lord, speak to us through your Spirit, through your word. Encourage us, lead us, even challenge us, Lord, with what you've spoken to us, Lord, just to do what you've said. All these things we ask in your name, amen, amen. Matthew 28 should be a fairly well-known section of scripture. We're going to start in verse 16. So verse 16 of Matthew 28, then the 11 disciples, of course, minus Judas, after Jesus' crucifixion and Judas, his demise. Well, these 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And this is, of course, after the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, let's meet at this appointed time. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, if you'd like, turn to Acts chapter 1. To your right, four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Acts chapter 1, so I don't lose track. Verse 1, a little more context to the story, to this account. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 1. Of course, Luke writing this book, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible, or that word means unmistakable, proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, quote, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now, I couldn't help it because we kind of left off, if you will, in Daniel chapter 7 last Wednesday night. Let's, if you want to, you can turn there. These couple of verses will be up on the screen. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That is when Yogi Berra would say, I believe it now. I believe now is the time of peace. Interesting. So Jesus, in front of his disciples, goes up. And these two men in white apparel, angels, perhaps, some say, could that be Moses and Elijah, who might come later in Revelation? Who are these folks? Well, they know something. They know, hey, he's coming back the way he went up in the clouds. We had a nice cloudy day today, by the way. Tonight, we just want to focus on and talk about this, what we know is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. I forgot to look up possible definitions of commission. But we know somebody might commission an artist to make a work. It's giving an assignment, right? Interesting, they would be missionaries, right? The disciples, they would be apostles, but sent ones. Kind of missionaries means sort of the same things, given a mission. I guess they would be commissionaries, if you will, right? Because they were given a task, and there they would go. And true, even in our times, and especially in modern history, there's been this incredible wave of missionary activity. Back starting, I think, in the 1600s and obviously more into the 1900s. A few names you would know: William Carey went to India, Hudson Taylor into China, David Livingston into Africa, and Jim Elliot into Ecuador. Was reading a little bit about Eric Liddell, whose story, or some of his stories, in the movie Chariots of Fire, if you remember that movie, that thing from ages ago. Great movie. Need to watch that again. He did not race on Sunday because he thought he wanted to honor God. He became a missionary, obviously. And it was an American that gave him a note from 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, those who honor me, I will honor. And from 1925 to 1943, he was a missionary Japan, I think. Well, he was actually born in China, ended up in China, but he was interned by the Japanese and became a Bible teacher in the camp, in the internment camp. He ended up dying of a brain tumor. The Chinese, in 2008, from their records that they would go back and look in, they revealed that he gave his place to a pregnant woman in a prisoner exchange. He was up to be exchanged, and he said, no, pregnant woman ought to go before me. An unbeliever who lived side by side with Eric as a prisoner, an unbeliever in the camp, said this about Eric: Jesus Christ lived in our camp. And when you see these missionaries, when you hear their stories, and when you see people talking about the Lord, to other people sharing the Lord, it's quite a contrast. If you've ever seen the folks, they're known as kind of hyper-Calvinists, who would believe, you know, the Lord is the one who converts. And, you know, there's a quote here: when God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid and mine. I don't know how that you can weigh that with Matthew 28 and the Great Commission and just the commands of the Lord. I don't see that. At some of the Harvest Crusades, there's even been folks picketing. They're protesting against the Harvest Crusade. How dare you go against God's will to try to convert the heathen? You know, I just don't get it. And I think all we can learn from that is some people are just going to miss it. I don't know what else to say. So let's not miss it, obviously. Jesus says about this, you know, how many missionaries, I wish I would have looked this up, how many missionaries are there in the world to other countries? I have no idea, but I know it's not enough, probably. Jesus would say, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So here at our fellowship, we ought to know, hey, if you look at our webpage, or there in the little cubby in the sanctuary, we have missionaries that our church actually has partnered with, sponsors, and people from the fellowship sponsor. So I want to take a look at a few of these. The first, you know, a group of folks, these are called to go, right? These missionaries. So we're called to know who they are. We know these. If you look at our website, you might see a name and think, I don't recognize that name because it's, I'll call it a pseudonym. They can't really go by their name. They, names as we know them, they serve in the Arab communities around the world and powerfully. Celeste and Mark Joachim and their daughter Isabel, thank you. Celeste has been struggling with cancer for a number of years and a number of health problems, but they serve in Kosovo. The Dunns, us, Larry and Kathy and family are in Ireland. If you've seen, Larry is really funny. He literally was in a fishing accident on a fishing boat, lost an arm in the accident, and he has really good one-arm fisherman jokes. And he says an icebreaker with people that he comes and ministers to. And I only know one. I once caught a fish this big. That's the only one I know of one-armed fisherman jokes. The next, Nadim and Farah Massey in Pakistan and their family. The next one, Milan Paryar, and also I think maybe in somewhat connection with the Kathmandu Pastoral College in Nepal. There's also David Ministries, which serves in Georgia, in Russia, the territories, not in Atlanta, that Georgia. So we have these worldwide missionaries. We also sponsor and work with Bridges Pregnancy Center in Santa Rosa. They provide, I think, usually free ultrasounds for unexpected pregnant moms, usually very young moms, just to work with them and give them the godly option. And they do say, well, but once the mom sees the baby, the ultrasound, the beating heart, the actual baby, it is the motherly instinct kicks in. God provided that instinct. So working with them, Redwood Gospel Mission, just downtown Santa Rosa, in fact, and I think they're moving or opening another spot. The Lord worked a miracle deal for them in a big expansion, I think, at the old Sutter Warwick property in Santa Rosa, if you know that. Sozos Student Center. Oh, by the way, the Redwood Gospel Mission, incredible ministry for the homeless. If you come across some homeless, especially in Santa Rosa, it's like, get to the gospel mission. Get down there and get in there. Do whatever you can do. Sozo Student Center in Roanoke Park, right on the doorstep of the high school there, Rancho Cotati. I've been there during lunchtime. It looks like the children of Israel, 2 million people walking across the parking lot to all of the little restaurants right there. And Sozo does an incredible work of welcoming kids, especially those that just are having family troubles. They don't fit in, all walks of life. That's our good friend Sean down at Roanoke Park, Pastor Sean, who heads up that ministry. And I didn't want to leave out, we have actually a couple missionaries in our midst tonight. You may not know that. Names are John and Eric, from faraway lands of paradise in Ohio. Well, what a great time to pray for our missionaries before we do anything else, right? Father, for the missionaries, Lord, that we've been called to know here at our fellowship at the river, and the ones we work with, Lord, the ones first in in just unbelievable places, Lord, that have laws against missionaries that do not, that are not impressed with Jesus, or and do not allow talk about this Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you've snuck them in somehow. You've gotten them in, or they're native to the location, Lord, where they can just be a light in very dark places. Lord, we pray, as we know, they covet our prayers, but I know this, Lord, they've told us. They pray for us, too. Lord, they pray for our fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for them, for our local missionaries here, for missions, Redwood Gospel and Bridges and Sozo, Lord, also in dark places. Lord, standing in the gap, Lord, standing in a place, Lord, where the enemy has had lots of success. Lord, thank you that people are standing in the gap, Lord, and are there to just rescue people who would otherwise be lost. Thank you that the work they're doing, Lord, sustain them in this difficult work. And for John and Eric, as long as they are here and continuing, Lord, in that jungle, Lord, that we are in, another dark place, Lord, thank you that you've placed him here. And thank you that even we get to enjoy their company, Lord, on their travels. Keep working in them, Lord. And I know you've gifted them in many ways to be able just to share the gospel. And Lord, the great thing is they know. They know they've been called to go and to tell and to make disciples, Lord. So give them fruit, Lord. Give them great success, Lord, in your work, Father. Lord, and for any missionaries, Lord, we might be not thinking of. I can think of one. Missionary, where is he? Tony Price, Tennessee. Thank you for sending Tony Price, Lord, out. Those of you who know Tony. To Tennessee, Lord, give him boldness to speak, Lord. Thank you that he's still, Lord, part of our fellowship, probably streaming and watching now. Thank you for him. Lord, other people that have been, Lord, sent by you to places, thank you for him, Lord. Give him boldness and courage, Lord, to speak your word. In your name, amen. Hey, Tony, for those of you who know Tony. He is like the first guy on the chat, the YouTube chat, and say, hey, God bless you guys, River Fellowship. So always good to hear from Tony. So these guys and you guys were impressed by these missionaries. And sometimes, I think it was like, wow, these people that are called to these faraway countries and where languages are different. And Lord, that's amazing. And I'm not sure about me, but Jesus, I think he calls us all. You know, we may not be called to go. We're called to know our missionaries, know those around us, but we are all called to sow the seed. I would call this, the great, maybe not the great commission, but the great go mission. Just go and sow, the great sow mission. and we might think, I don't feel qualified. I don't know my Bible like Chris or let's see, Dan. He's actually a knowledgeable guy. I don't know my Bible like these guys. I mean, what am I going to say? Well, hey, turn if you want to back to Matthew chapter 28. The gospel message is pretty simple, as Dan says. I'll quote Dan. It's very simple. Have Dan tell you what it is. Now, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, just a little snippet. This is before the section we picked up and read when we started. The resurrection story. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. Maybe one of those white apparel guys, perhaps. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered to anybody who was questioning or wondering, and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Now, it's interesting. I saw this, and somebody had quoted, like, look at this little snippet here. You have an angel. Another word for angel, messenger, giving a message. "I know you seek Jesus who was crucified." Do you know when you're talking to people, the thing, the one that they're actually seeking is Jesus Christ? Do you know that? The thing we are all looking for is not a thing, it's a who, it's Jesus. I like Dr. S.M. Lockridge. We played his little thing, I think his speech, his sermon, not speech, but his sermon, that snippet from where he was serving. I can't think where he served, but it's the, he's my king, you know, he's the Lord of Lords. Do you know him? If you ever heard that, if you haven't heard it, go check it out. It's awesome. He said something about, in this, he said, Jesus, you can't outlive him and you can't live without him. And it's true. Everybody we see, you can't outlive him. You're trying, and you can't live without him. It's Jesus everybody is ultimately seeking. The Jesus who was crucified. And he's not here, the angel said. And true for people who are seeking. Well, he's not here. Well, what do you mean here? Whatever you're seeking, the places where you're looking for life are death. Remember that Jesus said to the disciples, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" The places where you're looking for life, looking for meaning, those are dead places. It's Jesus who gives life, and life more abundantly, right? He is alive. He's not some fake or old idea, some Bible story made up. He is alive. And then come and see, the angel said, where the Lord lay. Where the Lord lay. What do you mean? When he was crucified. Come see the work of the cross. Come see what he's done for you and done for me. The simple gospel message. Dan said it. It's so simple. Man, just come and see what the Lord has done for you and for me. It can be, right? A very simple message. So you may not know your Bible as good. I may not know my Bible as good as I should, as good as I need to. But what about, well, worse than that, I may know my Bible fine. My problem is people know me. And I'm not a great witness. They know either my current state or they know my past, and it's difficult. Or family, boy, it's very difficult, obviously, talking to family because they know you really well. Well, interesting. Turn to Mark chapter 5, and before you do, before you look, before you can turn to the 5, but don't look down. Can anybody tell me who they think the first missionary is that Jesus sent out? Because most of the time, what did Jesus say? Now, he would heal somebody. He said, now, keep this to yourself. Keep this quiet. And of course, they would tell everybody. Now he says, go and tell everybody. And then we don't tell anybody. What happens? I don't know. Is it the 12 that he sent out? That was Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 5. Let's see this first missionary. And when he got in the boat, Mark chapter 5, verse 18, he who had been demon-possessed, Dan knows, begged him that he might be with him. This is the rad lad of Gad, or whatever, the sad Gad, whatever, the guy from the Gadarenes, the guy who broke his chains and was just a screaming banshee, like a real zombie, except more scary, right? And these are if you remember this story, the demons, their name was Legion because there were many, yikes. And they begged Jesus to go into the pigs, and who had run down. It was the first performance of Swine Lake. Or talk about swine flu, you know, that too. And he was crazy. And when the people came, the people who were like mad because, hey, our kosher pork business is gone, you know, right? They said, Jesus, you need to get out. But they saw the guy. He was crazy, like MTV. And then all of a sudden, he's sitting there calm at Jesus' feet, PBS. A miracle had occurred. But verse 19, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Hey, my friends know me. They know my past. Man, Jesus seems to, I mean, are you sure, Jesus? This guy doesn't seem, he didn't go to seminary. He didn't go to Bible school. He just, minutes before, was just crazy, right? Jesus says, go and show what the Lord's done for you. What a great message. Hey, I know you know me, but let me tell you what the Lord has done for me and done in my life. Those of you who have a testimony like that, great way to share, right? You're qualified. You might think, like we said, okay, I don't know my Bible. I don't, or worse, people know me. Paul, I think, is an interesting lesson. There in Acts chapter 17, a lot of people think this is one of the greatest sermons ever given. The most relatable sermon to the current people, to the current thoughts of the days. These were the philosophers and the Stoics that would be hanging out there in Athens. And there at Mars Hill, there were all these statues to every god imaginable. And there was even a statue to the unknown god, just in case they missed one. And Paul would preach this incredible, very heady sermon of, let me tell you who this unknown god is that you're worshiping. And what's interesting about that, Paul, wherever he went on his missionary journeys, churches would typically be established. There was no church established there in Athens, interesting enough. That's Acts chapter 17. And that sermon ended, the people said, oh, we'll hear you later, because he started talking about the resurrection. And they, like, what is that? And it wasn't clear that he didn't, Paul, in what's written there, didn't necessarily bring up the name of Jesus, who they were talking about, or who he was teaching about. He brings up resurrection, but not the crucifixion. There was a very heady message, if you will, given to the people, to be relatable. His next stop, Acts chapter 18, is Corinth. Now, we know a church was established in Corinth. In fact, there's two books, you know, let's say it was a church. That church had problems, obviously, not too long after Paul left. But a church, nonetheless, was established. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, if you want to turn there, Paul gives probably some thought, if you will, some commentary on this. He says this in verse 1, thanks, Joe. And I, brethren, when I came to you, this would be the Corinthians, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Wait a second, are we talking about Paul? Have you seen the New Testament written by Paul? Are we talking about the same guy? How is that possible? It is said he was not a great public speaker, interestingly. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, Acts chapter 17, perhaps, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I don't know my Bible. I'm not a great public speaker. I don't even know what to say. Paul would say, man, I just came to you simply and stumbling over my words and Christ crucified, okay? I don't want to know anything else. Now, he would write two long books, and we would know that Paul would share quite a bit with the Corinthians because he would tell them and give more explanation in his two letters to the Corinthians. But to know Christ or to preach Christ crucified, the simplicity of the message. And I know we all have, there's always the questions. Well, do you eat shrimp and lobster, you know, from because that's the, you know, Mosaic covenant and the Old Testament? Are you allowed to eat that? There's all sorts of strange questions that come up. And we do our best, don't we? We try. It's like, let's keep this on point because Jesus would say, right, to his disciples, the very question that everyone has to answer. If you think about it, in every religion, I think, every religion has to deal with this guy named Jesus. The Muslims have to say, oh, he's a prophet. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, he's not God, he's lowercase g God. Or, and the Mormons say, well, similarly. And Hindus believe, oh yeah, prophet, good guy, good teacher. Every religion, if you think about it, has to deal with him. He's the pinnacle, if you will, of humanity. And he would say, who do you say that I am, right? He was at that place there at, is it Caesarea? Not by the sea, the other one where there were pagan sacrifices happening in the caves there. It almost looked like it was like the portal of hell, it was called. And he would ask them, right? He said, who do some say that I am? Well, John the Baptist or, you know, some good teacher or some this and some religion say you're this or that. Everyone is going to have to deal with the question, who do you say that Jesus is? Maybe a good lead question. Who do some people say he is? Who do you say he is? What do you think, interestingly? And we know, just a reminder to me, when I'm reticent, when I'm not, I don't know if I'm going to share, just like the parable of the sower, hey, cast the seed. Some of that seed falls on the path. Whoops. Some of it falls on rocky soil, and some on thorny soil, and some on good soil. Let's pray for the tiller of the soil, right? Luke chapter 13, verse 6. If you want to turn there, it'll be up on the big screen behind me. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, verse 7, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use or waste up the ground? But he answered and said to him, verse 8, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. This parable, I believe, has other implications as well, prophetically, historically, but for our purposes here, I think it reveals the heart of the Lord. Ah, this is unfruitful, this tree. Oh, let me work on it. Let me work on that soil around the tree. Oh, that the Lord would work on the soil of our friends' hearts, our families' hearts, our kids' hearts. Lord, make it happen, Lord. Be compassionate, Lord. Now, for a lot of us, we're not called to go, as it's been said, you know, Lord, just don't send me to Borneo. I'm afraid of all those weird animals and snakes over there. Send me somewhere a little less crazy, Lord. Maybe we're not called to here. You guys were called to the crazy forests of Sonoma County. Thank you. What? Camp Meeker. Well, it's narrowing it down. Snakes there, yes. Well done. I know many of us were called to be, not necessarily to go, but called to sow, called to know our missionaries, called to under-row. Paul calls himself an under-rower, a servant. Hey, I'm just Paul, the great missionary Paul. Hey, I'm just a servant under-rowing. And it's what's interesting is Paul went around. He was certainly, we would say, yeah, he's a missionary. But what did he spend a lot of time doing? He went back to the established churches to strengthen the churches. So a lot of us are called, hey, strengthen the brethren, as Peter was called to do. When you are converted, go and strengthen the brethren, Peter. And so a lot of our calling is, hey, encourage, strengthen the church, but still don't forget to sow at the same time. Some examples of this, you know, John Mark, the apostle, he in Acts 13, he left as they were going, I think, maybe to Cyprus. His uncle, Barnabas, so we know him, had brought him along, but he left. And later, I think it was Acts 15, they were going further, or it was maybe to go back and strengthen the churches. I forgot to look that all up. But Barnabas wanted to take, hey, John Mark is back, let's take him along. And Paul was, they had a bitter dispute about what to do with John Mark. And so they split. Well, and as it turns out, you know, they divided and conquered in that way. But Paul, even through that bitter dispute, he would call for John Mark there, I think at the end of 2 Timothy. He said, hey, he's useful to me in ministry. So the dispute was resolved at some point. But John Mark, this guy who left, he would end up being, I think, the bishop or a missionary into Egypt. He would pen, of course, the book of Mark, probably with Peter's dictation, or certainly his leading of it's what's known as kind of Peter's gospel. He was martyred, according to church history, in 68 AD. But a guy that didn't quite make it as a missionary, certainly the first time around, but ended up being very useful in ministry. There's so many examples in the epistles that Paul greets, just great workers in the church, and Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila and Tertius and Quartus, all these names that say, hey, greet these ladies and these guys that are just, they work so hard to bless the church. And I know for some of us as well that it's like trying to figure out, Lord, am I called to go? And I'm having a hard time sowing the word, if you will, and just things are just not well. And I know that sometimes we are called just to simply lie low and let the Lord minister. But I pray those would be short seasons, not extended seasons. I think the Lord would have, as we know, when you serve other people, you often get more blessed than the people that you're serving. Very true. Now, whether called to sow or go or under-row or lie low, all these clever things I tried to come up with, I want to bring your attention back to Matthew 28. Sorry, where we started. Go in, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the best part. as Jesus was sending out his disciples, and he would, there'd be more clarification. Hey, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay here until the promise of the Father comes. The Holy Spirit comes upon your life, and then you are going to be empowered to be my witnesses. I am one of those. I always like, Jesus, are you sure this was the best idea that you go away and leave this sewing business to us, a pretty imperfect bunch of people? Are you sure? I mean, what if you were still here? It would be irrefutable, right? You're risen. There he is. That's the guy. But Jesus says, it's better that I go away, and that the Spirit comes alongside you. You're going to do things in the Spirit that you've seen me do, and greater things. Really? Wow. Are you sure? Me? Us? Is that possible? Jesus says, it's good that I go, but he says, what? Lo, I am with you always. He's going, but he's staying. He's with us by his Spirit. He's chosen, as I think Ephesians says, he's come down to live with us in our hearts. He's with us still. So I don't think it's the great go mission. I don't think it's the great commission. I think it's the great co-mission. What's the bumper sticker? God's my co-pilot? Well, switch seats, right? But he's with us. It's the co-mission. We are on this mission together. Lo, he's with us always. I don't know if this story is true, but it's a great story of a Chinese person who had missionaries come to his door, and they gave him a Bible, and he just threw it in the fireplace. And it burned, and later on, when the flames were out and it was just ashes in the fireplace, he looked down and noticed there was just a piece of a page that hadn't burned, and he looked down, and it was Matthew 28. It says, Lo, I am with you always. His name was Lo. Lo, I'm with you always. And he became a Christian. Now, I don't know if that's true. The probability of that story being true might be low. Sorry. But it is the heart of the Father, Lo. Whatever your name is, your name is not Lo. Dan, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So whatever mission you're on, whatever missionary duty you're called to, I'm with you, Jesus would say, always, even to the end of this age. That's the best part. We're on this mission together. Because if he sent me out by myself, epic fail. But the fact that he's going with us and part of our mission, this great mission to make disciples of the nations, that's the awesome part. Why don't we pray? And thank you, Father. Lord, just a big reminder for us, I know, and a big reminder for me, an encouragement from your word, Lord, that if it's me just talking to someone, Lord, help me remember, oh, right, Lord, you're here with me as I share you with them. Your Spirit is working through me, Lord. And I pray we would just be given your boldness in the Spirit to share. Thank you for the examples that we have, Lord, of people just simply sharing you, just simply sowing the seed and saying, Lord, hey, you're the tiller of the soil. You're the one who waters in the word by your Spirit. So, Lord, now it's up to you. So may we just share your simple truth, simple gospel, Lord. Lord, may we recognize the tugging on our hearts when you say, hey, it's time to share. So, Lord, thank you that you have entrusted this to us, Lord. And again, thank you, Lord, that you're with us always. And, Lord, again, for our missionaries, the missionaries what we know, and Lord, the hundreds of thousands, Lord, that are serving today, Lord. Just thank you for them, Lord. We pray as you asked, Lord, the Lord of the harvest. Lord, send. Lord, do send. And Lord, in these, again, increasingly dark days that we're living in, Lord, we know that this world, people are truly seeking after you. You are the answer, Lord, they need to be seeking after. That is the true answer, Lord. So help and turn their focus, Lord, onto you, Lord. All these things we ask, Lord, in your name. Amen.